Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. As always, it's going to be a time of motivation and inspiration, some education. And as you know, we do not use any manipulation. That's right. We don't coerce you to do anything. We're not here to solicit anything. We're just simply here to give you accurate information. Information, it is our prayer, will help you verify plus identify plan of God for your life. And if you can do that, you always have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But this show has been going now for many years, maybe in your radio area, many years now. We've been on the radio almost 600 Sundays across the United States, so you can figure up how many weeks that is. And I'm so grateful and so thankful that God has supplied all of our needs. We've never had to ask anybody for anything. We just do our job, trust the Lord, and He provides, and that's why you're listening to us today. Today I'd like to talk to you about the number one feel-good emotion in America, the number one feel-good emotion in the world, what everybody wants, everybody's looking for, what everybody's trying to get. It's simply called happiness. Happiness, the number one feel-good emotion in America today. But the unfortunate truth is this, and here it is. Listen, you can hear it from the Word of God. Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 14, verse 1. The problem there lies in the fact that each one of us, you, me, and anyone else, we have a free will. God did not make us an automaton. He gave us a chooser, a choice, free will. We have an active volition. If you compound that with our sin nature, because we do have a sin nature also, because listen to the Bible, Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes. Each man, woman, child born into this world is born a sinner. Now, the solution is seen in Romans 5:19. It says, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. One man led us into it, and one divine man took us out of it. That divine man is Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, who paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. But make no mistake about it. Remember this. You have a sinful nature. And when your sin nature is combined with your volition, you can make yourself miserable. You can make yourself unhappy. And you do that by making a series of bad decisions. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Luke 11:21, happy are you if you hear the word of God and observe it. He said these words to a woman who shouted out over him while he was teaching, and she wanted to make happiness associated with the womb. And she said, happiness belongs to the womb that bore you and the breast on which you nursed. And he corrected her. He said, no, happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it. So there is no doubt that God designed us to be happy, but also there's no doubt we can never have the type of happiness that I'm about to tell you about apart from Him. Satan has a myth, and that myth that floats around is that people or circumstances or possessions, that's the key to happiness. And so consequently, people often spend money they don't have to buy the things they don't need to, unfortunately, impress the people that don't even like them to start with. Isn't that ironic? People spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people that don't even like them to start with. So our Lord stated in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, so that, that's a purpose clause in the Greek New Testament, that, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Our Lord taught those disciples many things. They didn't sign up to be criminals. They didn't sign up to watch Him go to the cross. They thought they were signing up to go into the kingdom with Him and to serve in the kingdom. And yet there were many things they had to face and many persecutions they went through. And yet it was possible. And Jesus taught them the word, taught them how to live by faith, taught them how to pray, taught them that in spite of all the adversity and the difficulties, they could have the same joy that he had in those times of trouble. What type of joy is this? What's it like? What's unique about it? Well, the evangelist Billy Graham said, this happiness is the happiness that brings enduring worth to your life. It's not the superficial happiness that depends on circumstances, but rather the happiness and the contentment that fills your soul even when you are under the most distressing of circumstances. That's pretty well said. So here is the sad truth to what we're saying, that an unbeliever, a person that is not a Christian, a person who is disadvantaged in the fact they've never accepted Christ as their Savior, they cannot have this happiness. They cannot have this lasting happiness. The best thing they can hope to have is a sort of temporal happiness, a happiness that is related to circumstances, a happiness that is related to people and possessions. But they can never have the type of happiness that I'm speaking about. And that's why they will search and search and search and never find it. Celebrities have said this. I remember one particular celebrity, and someone asked him, said, "You're rich and you're famous, but are you happy?" And he said, "No, I'm lonely. I'm very lonely." If you look at the world today and you find the rich people in the world, they're not happy, many of them, apart from a relationship with God and using this happiness that I'm talking to you about. This is a supernatural happiness. This is a happiness that only the Christian can possess. And why do I say that? Why can a person that's not a Christian have this happiness? Well, listen. Listen to Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, what did it say? The fruit of the Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit the minute you believe in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:13. You are sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're not a Christian. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can't possess this happiness that I'm talking about. Listen, let's go back and remember something. A person that's not a Christian has two parts. He has a body and he has a soul, and that's all he has. He has two parts to him. He's bichotomous. But if he comes to Jesus Christ and receives Christ as his Savior and isn't in fact born again, then he becomes three parts. He still has his body, he still has his soul, but now his human spirit that was dead at birth as associated with Adam's original sin, the human spirit is made alive when the Holy Spirit indwells him. And that's the secret to it. Now, once the Holy Spirit indwells you and he dwells me, he can help us convert the Word of God into the most phenomenal thing in the world that we could ever have. You see, we can hear it, but if you're not a believer, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to convert it into what the Bible calls pneumatikos, and that spiritual phenomena. A person that's not a Christian can hear the Bible and never convert it, never take it from what he hears to make it what he applies, which gives him wisdom. And there's a whole process. I think we've talked about this before. But without the Holy Spirit, the joy that I'm speaking about can never, ever be purchased. It can never be bought. It can never be acquired. You cannot have it apart from being a believer in Jesus Christ. Also associated with what I just told you is in Luke 11:28, where Jesus said these words himself, "Happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it." Hearing the word of God and keeping the word of God is the trait of a Christian, and it produces happiness. Now, in regards to the unbeliever, can he be happy? Yes, if he observes, for example, if he lives by the laws of establishment, if he honors volition, if he honors marriage, if he honors so many different establishment concepts and principles that God gives, yes, he can be happy. He can be happy in marriage. He can be happy having a family. He can be happy in a nation of freedom such as America today. But this happiness is a neutral happiness. It won't last because people and circumstances can take that happiness away from him. I mean, you can get married and you can say, I'm happy. I'm having babies. I'm having children. I'm happy. Look at my beautiful babies. But those same beautiful babies can make you unhappy, very unhappy. Marriage is not a key to happiness. Marriage oftentimes is the key to unhappiness. We'll talk about that. True happiness that I speak about, the happiness that I'm trying to explain to you, is a supernatural resource that is only available to the believer in Jesus Christ. And it comes by means of God the Holy Spirit producing that joy, and by means of the Word of God as you acquire and convert it and use it in your soul. That's the happiness that I'm talking about. The true happiness is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the happiness of having an eternal future, as well as having all the provisions and time for the grace blessings by the grace assets God gives you. So the power of prayer, the power of faith, the fellowship of the saints, and much more. No unbeliever has these resources. An unbeliever that hasn't trusted in Jesus Christ can't use the faith rest drill. He can't pray and ask God to help him with problems. He can't lay them at the Lord's feet. He's not even in the royal family of God. Thus, Satan will often attempt to counterfeit the happiness that I'm talking about, this supernatural happiness. He will try to counterfeit it. I mean, after all, he does like to keep his constituents happy, doesn't he? So he will freely give stimulation in many forms. I mean, his myth has always been that people and pleasant circumstances in life can provide happiness. Things like a great social life, things like money and fame and sexual prosperity and travel and health, they are all offered in the place of the real happiness that I'm talking about, which is the eternal happiness given by God through Jesus Christ. You know, one thing that should make you happy is knowing that if you die today, you're going to heaven. You can know it. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to try. You don't have to wish. The Bible says these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. 1 John 5:11 and following. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because you have received Christ as your Savior. Well, is that worth celebrating, that if you're absent from this body, you're face to face with the Lord and you're not in hell? Yeah, I would say that's worth celebrating. You know, that Satan throws up all this false happiness, pseudo-happiness, under some form of stimulation. But once the sin nature raises its ugly head, well, all the pseudo-happiness will go out the window. Arrogance, the enemy of every person, because arrogance will rob you of your happiness. Arrogance can lead you into jealousy. Arrogance can lead you into self-pity. Arrogance can lead you into the guilt complex. And sins like hatred and revenge motivation all rob you of your happiness if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're one of those disadvantaged persons without Christ, you're never going to be really, truly happy. At best, you'll have temporal happiness, a false happiness, but not the real happiness that I'm talking about, that comes as a result of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and as a result of hearing God's word and keeping it on a consistent basis. The definition of happiness, interesting. Here's a novel thought. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. So, for example, if an unhappy person marries looking for happiness, then all that he or she is going to do is make the other person miserable. Marriage doesn't create happiness. It compounds problems. It doesn't solve problems. So if you're dating someone that's not happy, and you think that marrying them you can make them happy, well, you're just going to be miserable in the long run, because unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go, even in a marriage. A real biblical definition of happiness would be this. It's to think in terms of sanity and to be rational without any illusion. To think in terms of sanity and to be rational without illusion. That's what Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 talks about. Think in terms of sanity. Don't think in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility. Rational without illusion means that you have God's word in your soul. You know your options. You know your choices. You know what's right and what's wrong because you've learned it in the Bible. You have in your conscience, in your stream of conscience, you have a norm and a standard there that guides you and leads you. So all true happiness in life comes from thinking. Thinking. That's where it originates. That's where it comes from. The three R's of your life should be this: reception, retention, and recall. Those are the three R's related to thinking. And they are critical for any believer who wants to experience this supernatural happiness that I'm talking about. The supernatural way of living. And it's not a weird way, it's just simply the Christian life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. But without reception, without retention, and without recall, the Christian life is not going to give you the happiness God intended for it to do. You have the option. You can be a Christian and be unhappy. Or you can be a Christian and have this great happiness I'm speaking of. What do I mean by reception? I mean the constant perception of God's Word. Taking in God's Word. Learning God's Word. I was speaking to a woman recently, and her husband was kind of rough when they were married. He's passed away now. And she told me, I thought it was very interesting, she said, "My husband drove me to study the Bible because without that I couldn't have stayed with him." Interesting. She used the biblical problem-solving devices to handle the anger and the unhappiness that her husband had. She didn't have to have that. She didn't have to live that way. She had reception. She listened to a qualified pastor teach the Bible. This is one thing I constantly tell you. You must sit under the authority of a qualified pastor. You must listen to God's word be taught if you ever want to have this happiness. And I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning. I'm talking about a daily way of studying God's word. And I'm not talking about having a daily devotion where you buy a book at the bookstore and read a little small chapter each morning. I am talking about sitting under a qualified pastor who teaches you the Bible, and you have a notebook, you have a Bible, and you sit there and take notes, and you listen, and you learn, apply, and glorify. L-A-G, lag. Learn, apply, and glorify. There are a lot of great pastors that I know who teach their congregations weekly, usually an hour at a time, and they're all free and all available on DVD or MP3, and some of them are even available on live streaming video over the internet. Their congregations have the advantage of taking in the Word of God every day. This is something that I do. I wouldn't tell you something that I don't do. There is not a day, most of the time, I do sometimes get distracted, but 95, 97% of the time, I sit down each day with my Bible, with my notebook, and I take in doctrine as my pastor teaches it to me. Once I write it down, once I learn it, then I try to apply it into my life. And that is where we come to the word reception. Then the word retention. Reception and retention. Retention is you converting what you learn into biblical wisdom that's in your soul. But in order to retain something, sometimes it has to be repeated. And repetition is very good. My pastor used to say repetition is inevitable. You have to have repetition to learn. And he would give the illustration of being in the army and when they would march. And they had to learn about face, forward march, and left face, right face, and over and over and over again. And yet I think about some Christians that say to me sometimes, "Oh, I heard that already." Well, you need to hear it again and again and again if you hope to have any retention. Because if there's not retention, there's not recall. You can't recall what you did not retain. And so reception is the consistent perception of God's Word. Retention is converting what you learn into biblical wisdom in your soul. And recall is the application of that wisdom to your daily experience in your life every day. Listen to Proverbs 3:13. Happiness belongs to the person who finds wisdom, even to the person who gains understanding. Recall is the application of that wisdom. When this verse says happiness belongs to the person who finds wisdom, it assumes that, first of all, there's been reception and retention. Because without reception and without retention, there is no recall. In Psalm 31, verse 7, I will rejoice, there's happiness, and be happy in the provision of your grace. There is no doubt about it. The grace of God gives us an opportunity to have an unbelievable lifestyle. And that makes us happy. The first thing is the grace and salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. It's a free gift, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. That should make you happy. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove yourself. You just have to do what the Bible says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's why the Bible clearly says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible clearly says, God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible clearly says what I told you earlier in Romans 5:19, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When you come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, you receive His righteousness. You are made equally righteous with God through Christ. Psalm 119, verse 1. How happy, there it is, how happy are those whose way is complete, who walk in the law of the Lord. And that is, in parentheses, the life God provided for you. So, if your way is complete, it means you have integrity. It means you're mature. And you are walking, you're living in the life that God provided for you. That is your grace provision, your spiritual life. If you want perfect happiness, it only requires daily decisions from the right scale of values. Your number one priority must be, has to be, Bible doctrine. It has to be. You must be motivated to hear it, to study it, to learn it under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Listen, learn, and advance, and grow. You will have happiness, not only in this world, but in eternity as well. You will hear, "Well done, my good and my faithful servants." You will receive your rewards in eternity for faithful service. It's amazing. Psalm 97:12, be happy in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks for the memory of His holiness. We have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ in our lives since we got saved, and this qualifies us to be the recipients of God's personal love. And the moment-by-moment attitude of your soul should be, as the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen carefully. Until you can give thanks for everything, both the blessings and the adversity of your life, you are not even close to having the happiness that I'm talking about. It's there. It's available. Therefore, Philippians 4:4 says, keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times. Once more, I repeat that command, keep on having happiness. What is that happiness? It's contentment. Contentment gives you capacity in your life to live, love, and enjoy. Contentment is you not needing anything else. Listen, if you think you can't be happy unless you got a new home, unless you got a new car, unless you got a new this or new that, that's not contentment. Contentment is being happy with what God gives. Therefore, Paul said, I've learned to have a lot or a little, doesn't make any difference to me. I am content. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong with buying things. As long as you understand, that's not the key to happiness. They are provisions. They are blessings that God gives you, but they are not designed to make you happy. They are designed to be used and enjoyed. But all true happiness comes under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and through the inculcation of the Word of God, retention, reception, retention, and recall. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning, because it's critical. You must do that. Proverbs 3:13, happiness, or happy, is the one who finds wisdom and the one who obtains understanding. Finding wisdom, that's reception, retaining understanding, and recall. It's there for you. It is an amazing life, and it's only belongs to a few people. Those few people are Christians. It's an exclusive club. It is for Christians. An exclusive happiness that the world can't have. And it's yours in Jesus Christ. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.